Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Hearing from some more players yesterday at the NFL Scouting Combine out in Indianapolis, which, by the way, I believe we'll be hearing from the quarterbacks Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders later this morning from Indy, as well as Jalen Milroe. As for yesterday, we had Travis Hunter on the podium.
Should we carry the Milroe press conference live? So many Milroe fans here in Northeast Ohio. Call up Ken Carmen. Let him know, hey, we're carrying the Milroe, future Browns quarterback.
It could be a possibility whether or not they choose him come late April. They also might go with the guy I just mentioned in Travis Hunter, who yesterday said he modeled his receiving game after a current Cleveland Browns wideout.
I used to watch a lot of Jerry Jeudy because he's from Florida and I'm from Florida, so I kind of copy his movements a lot. But other than that, there's really no other player that I style my game after.
I said, Tom, if you haven't caught the show all week, shame on you. But if you haven't, I don't understand the Travis Hunter trying to play both ways. It's from a fan perspective, awesome. Like, I want to see more Deion Sanders, guys who want to try different things. It would be awesome. From a team perspective, we've had so many guys. I remember Rodney McLeod was like, how's he going to be in the meetings all week? How is he going to have the scouting report, especially defensively? You've got to be dialed in to who you're covering and all of their pet moves and some of their wily tricks as veterans. Like, you're not going to be doing that if you're in the offensive meetings getting ready for all your responsibilities.
You're not playing Colorado State on Sunday, right? I hear you.
Right. So, you know, I've heard varying people say that he's either defense first or offense first. And I'm like, if he's not going to be elite at either, then I'm not going to take him at two. Like, to take that position at two, and, you know, wide receiver, like I said this, I thought maybe he was the third or fourth best wide receiver in college football last year, so I'm taking him at two and making him a wide receiver? That doesn't make sense to me.
Not for this Browns team. While he fills a couple of needs, and it would be interesting, and wouldn't it be nice to have something positive to write and talk about in this town, right, and optimistic about a player and his future on the football field, not doable. Right, I do think, though, there might be a way where you could use him, start him on defense, and then have a package of plays for him on offense. But I agree with you. I think McLeod hits it right on the nose, and he knows better than anybody else, right? You've got to be in those meetings. You've got to be locked in. The kid is a phenomenal talent. There's no question about it. But this is not, you know, I mean, Charles Woodson maybe was the last player that we saw do this at a high level successfully. Before that, I don't know. Jim Thorpe.
Well,
you have to go back a little bit.
You know, New England, we get very creative during various parts of their run, and Troy Brown was doing different things. But again,
Mike Vrabel was doing some different things.
Mike Vrabel was too, but none of these guys were making it their identity.
Not play after play. Yeah.
All right, another player we heard from yesterday's combine was Michigan's Mason Graham, obviously a serious threat on the Wolverines' defensive line over the last couple of seasons. And he was asked about the feeling of leaving Ohio Stadium this past fall, winner with a victory against the Buckeyes, and whether or not he believed that they still had a bit of it in them.
So have you guys left Ohio Stadium? Do you think Ohio State would go on and win the championship?
I mean, I knew they were probably one of the better teams. You know, it hurts me to say that, but I knew they were one of the better teams, and, you know, I had a shot if they got in there, yeah.
I love the fact, I'll just say this. First of all, it's great to have an actual Ohio State fan sitting across from me. Not somebody who I think cheers for the most part for the Maize and Blue. It's so great to have, and not, you know, a Michigan hater, not a Michigan fan in this chair. Tom Withers, I'm so happy you're with me today. Because Mason Graham, who I've said, I actually think might be the safest pick in the draft. Like, I think he's a safer pick than Abdul Carter.
Absolute
I've said that.
Beast. Yeah.
I know it's not sexy to have just a guy clogging the lanes on the inside. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. But I love the fact he's getting asked Ohio State questions at the combine. That is the beauty of when you go and win the national championship. Michigan thought they had all the last words. They thought it was over. Well, I might have thought it was over too. I might have prematurely said some bad things about Ohio State at the time. But, you know, Ohio State went on a nice run after that, and now all these Michigan players have to be confronted with it.
Who could have imagined that losing to Michigan would be the best thing that ever happened to Ohio State? I'm not so sure they win the national championship if they win that game, right?
Yeah, imagine a close win. You know, are they reevaluating everything that they do if they just beat Michigan in a close game.
Right, and then what does a matchup against Oregon in the Big Ten title game look like? Anyway, we can revision history that to death, but I'm with you. It's nice to hear Michigan guys have to talk about a Buckeye championship.
And by the way,
it's good for the soul.
Think about where Will Howard's stock was the day after the Michigan game, and now today, where that stock is.
Made more money than anybody else in college football.
Great point.
No doubt about it.
Well, speaking of players at the NFL Combine, they're not the only ones making the headlines. As yesterday, a lot of sports media had a bit of fun with the story that we kind of covered yesterday, the spat between Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport at a hotel Starbucks. I was looking it up, which makes it even funnier to me.
JW Marriott, famous grounds over there in Indianapolis.
That makes it funnier because there's no four walls to contain that entire fight, really. So... yesterday, I mean, Pat McAfee had a whole thing. Inside the NBA guys had a whole thing about it at the beginning of their show. But this was Rappaport being introduced on NFL Network during their extensive coverage of the Combine.
There is one other member of our broadcast team we've got to bring in. And he is the Jake Paul of NFL Network. Lots of buzz. He's trending with no punches thrown. Ian Rappaport.
Thank you, Rich. I would say I'm
he looks
properly...
a little under-caffeinated, actually, to be honest.
No, I'm properly caffeinated. A lot of great coffee brands. Dunkin' does a really nice job. Nice. He actually is a fantastic coffee brand. I could go on and on about the coffee brands that I love.
I would have loved, and we talked about this yesterday, I would have loved for one time, just let it fly. Tom, when's the last fight you got in?
Throw a punch?
Yeah, when's the last fight? I know we're supposed to be adults, we're supposed to be grown men, but there is a way to get any of us grown men to actually throw a punch. I think my fighting days are over, but there are circumstances where I could see me losing my mind and doing something pretty stupid and probably jeopardizing my career, maybe my family. I don't know, but it's in there. It is in there. Tom, you've been feisty at times.
You got that Italian blood in you. Sure, it gets boiling every once in a while. I got you.
You've been feisty at times during your career.
I had a feisty few years in the 80s. I used to work the door of a bar on Long Island called the Copper Kettle. And I used to just have to check IDs. And we had a couple barroom brawls that I had to get into the middle of and had to try to play peacemaker at first until somebody hit me in the head, and then it's on.
You're always going to get sucker punched.
It happens.
I'm taking Jordan Schultz.
I would have taken you as more of the cooler, Tom.
this is an amazing story because I think people are bored. And, you know, not a lot, the blue chippers aren't there at this draft, so we're going to make some headlines of our own. The original story that they're disputing, this Matt Stafford, Tom Brady, like people are forgetting the genesis of the story, and these two had different versions of the same story. And Ian was very, in his tweet, is very condescending to Jordan Schultz. Basically, like, you stay in your newsmaker lane, I'm in my newsmaker lane. Like, we have our newsmaker power rankings right now in the NFL.
Well, of course we do.
I think we do, Tom. We have music that accompanies this every time we go to a power ranking. Feel free to enjoy.
I love it.
Launching yourself into a power ranking at some point today. Obviously, number one in the NFL is going to be Adam Schefter.
Right.
Number two, I think Ian Rappaport is always battling for that number two spot. Do you think he's good at number two? Or do you think he thinks there's a world where he can catch Schefter at some point? Because I'm not buying it.
As any good newsmaker, you're always striving to be number one. I think he thinks there is opportunity and maybe squashing news that he didn't feel was actual news was how he made it his jump into number one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just know, like, in the NBA, Shams, he caught Woj. Like, he was right there hand in hand.
Yes.
He drove him into retirement. That's how impressive it was. I mean, now you got Woj working at Olean New York, helping out college kids at St. Bonaventure.
Hey, be nice to St. Bonnie.
Selling his phones.
Yeah, you know, media on media crime is never a good thing, right?
I don't know.
What is the origin of this coffee house fight?
Somebody
jumped somebody in the line or what?
No. It was that Schultz had a story that there could be some conspiring behind the scenes with the Raiders and Matt Stafford.
Oh, I got you.
And then Rappaport says, unlike some previous reports, yes, those two were there at this resort in Montana, coincidentally, at the same time. Now, it is a ski resort to the stars. A lot of multimillionaires out there in Montana hang out there. But he's like, it had nothing to do with that. And so, obviously, Jordan took offense to that, and the two went at it.
And finally, we go out to Arizona, where the Guardians are. I know it's spring training right now. Guardians are 1-5 in spring training. It's such a weird thing, and you're losing to the White
Sophomore
Sox.
Sophomore slump for Vogt.
The White
I'm
Sox
worried.
Of all teams. The White Sox are going to win like 30 games this year again somehow. But the story that I wanted to get to, Tristan McKenzie yesterday in relief. One hit, three earned runs, zero strikeouts, five walks in two-thirds, not two innings, two-thirds of an inning. It's been a tough spring so far.
Pushed the panic button already.
Yeah, I know.
Still in February.
He has velocity. He's just not spotting the ball.
I'm gonna have to target payroll
outside of the strike zone.
The payroll. I gotta hammer the payroll now for spring training losses. No, I'm not worried, Tristan. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little. You're watching Tristan specifically because you feel like you have the makings yet again of a really good rotation. And Tristan, I mean, we've been on this journey. What has it been, 5 years?
Yeah. Should I get surgery? Should I not? Mm-hmm. Should I shut it down? Should I not? I'll fall back on this, Mitch, in the I was working on things category from yesterday. I wouldn't panic too much. He could have been working on specific pitches, what have you. That's a common thing at training camp. So
sure.
I wouldn't worry yet. As long as the velocity looks okay. You know, you talk about the spin rates, things like that. We don't know exactly what he was throwing, so I wouldn't worry yet. But I'm with you, Anthony. This has been dragging on for a long time now. It's like, is Tristan McKenzie going to become that guy? Can he be that legitimate top of the rotation, six innings every time out kind of guy? Because that's what the Guardians need.
I'm still not ready to throw in the towel on this. And obviously they're not either.
No,
and there's no reason
for them
to be.
Yeah.
I just feel like at some point he's going to get back to the guy we're all hoping he could be.
And unfortunately, with his situation, emotion kind of plays into it because he's such a likable guy. And everybody in the organization is just pulling for him. And I know the fans love him as well. So hope for a better day next time out, Mitch.
You are making me feel a little bit better. That's it for About Last Night.